term off.
Just now, we were watching a video from Mission Central, and some of the words describe that our world as a broken world, a hurt world, and a confused world. So we are looking at a family this morning, a family in turmoil, a family, a dysfunctional family, a family that is messy, people confused in the family. So we're going to look at the family of Joseph. If you remember, Joseph married two sisters, Leah and Rachel, and their two servants, or maids, and have the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, all this happened and start with a love story, okay? You all remember the love story. Jacob met Rachel at the well and fell in love with her. And if you believe Hollywood, they will all lived happily ever after. Unfortunately, in reality, it didn't went that way. The love story has gone wrong somewhere. As you remember with the Bible story, Leah was not loved. The older sister wasn't loved. The younger sister, Rachel, was loved. So the story we start today with an unloved wife. Jacob, his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive. So immediately we notice once people got married and things fell apart. this family started seemingly well, soon it ended up not so good. And if you read Leah has six sons with Jacob, and if you read the name of the six sons and why she gave the sons' names, you realize this unloved wife was in anguish, pain, sorrow, agony. And every time she gave birth to a son, she mentioned quite often her hope for a change in her husband, for her husband to love her. So we can see that immediately the reality that we live with today, just as the Mission Central video showed, we are living in a broken world, a hurt world, confused world. I'm sure that Leah was very confused, hurt, with lots of pain, agony, seeing that her husband loved her younger sister more than her. And then we discover not only Leah was in trouble, her little sister or younger sister was also in trouble. She was jealous of Leah. Can you imagine being loved by the husband and jealous of your older sister, not loved by the husband? That was the case. And why? Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children. She became jealous of her sister. So you have two sisters, both highly unhappy, both not happy, not content with life. And so she gave her maid to Jacob and have a son through her. And then she said, what did she say? I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won. A dysfunctional family, a family in turmoil, a family fighting each other. I don't know any of this rings a bell with your family of origin. look at this. I don't know whether you are a person who look at what you have or look at what you have not, whether the glass is half full or half empty. And this is exactly the situation with the two sisters. They both have advantages and disadvantages. And because they focus on their disadvantages, they were so unhappy. So Leah, fruitful with six sons, but unloved. And Rachel, loved by her husband, but have no child. And she got very jealous. And then if we look at the husband, he's in trouble too, spiritually. So as we read and heard, Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children. She became jealous of her sister, so she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who have kept you from having children?" Do you hear his angry voice? Who has kept you from having children? That's awful, isn't it? Something a husband should never said to his wife. Obviously, he was really out of control himself. Jacob was not a prayerful man. If we read about his father, Isaac, you will discover that Isaac is much better spiritually than Jacob. Isaac prayed to God on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife, Rebecca, became pregnant. So the son really didn't learn anything spiritually from the father. And even though Jacob loved Rachel very much, and yet when Rachel complained and she got he got really, really upset. So this is a really dysfunctional family. And do you have a dysfunctional family of origin where your parents may actually prefer your brother or sister than you? Leah was an unloved and unwanted wife. Do you have that kind of experience, being unloved and unwanted, preferred, your brother or sister more preferred than you are? And on top of all that, we have a deceitful father-in-law putting pressure on this family. So if you read, it didn't come out. This family, this is a real recipe for an unhappy family here. Unloved wife, jealous sister, prayerless husband, and now a deceitful father-in-law. And if you remember how Laban deceived Jacob and cheated him, Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, right? But Laban said, Rachel is the younger sister, so she have an older sister, and she's unmarried, and we can't have that. You can't marry the younger when the older is unmarried. So cheated Jacob and forced him to marry Leah as well as Rachel. And so we have this extremely dysfunctional family. Leah is unloved but fruitful. Rachel is loved but childless. Jacob is stressed but prayerless. And Laban is deceitful and oppressive. Oppressed Jacob and cheated him out of his wages. So imagine that you are a member of that family. How would you respond? How would you find a way out of this dilemma? How will you feel? How will you overcome feelings of unwanted, unloved? It looks so depressive, this story, this family. Now, the Bible is a comedy, right? Not a tragedy. So something is going to change. So that's the good news. It's good news for you and me. Whatever difficulty we are facing, whatever problem we have, however complicated, however we don't see any hope. Just now I want to thank Joshua singing hymns of hope with Christ, and Christianity is a comedy, not a tragedy. So the true hero is God. Like a lot of story you read about, a lot of movie you watch, quite often the main actor comes out immediately, okay? And that's what the Bible, exactly the same happened in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the real hero in the Bible, in human history, is God. And from this, we can see, even in this story, in Genesis 29:30, we see in this family that it is God who came to help, to enter into the human world, to reverse human tragedies. So when Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive. So Leah's reaction is, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. Because the Lord heard that I am not loved. So we see God intervening into human life, into the situation, Leah unloved, but now God sees and hears and gave her lots of sons. And in the case of Rachel, this exactly happens again. You shall call him, sorry, that's that's another story, and we don't have time for that story. Genesis 30. God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. And Rachel's response is, God has taken away my disgrace. Again, we see that it's God interfering into human lives, into human history. And why we are Christians? Because God intervened into our lives and gave us hope. So in the case of Jacob, exactly the same happened. Even Laban recognizes that God blessed Jacob to the extent that the Lord has blessed me because of you. God has blessed Jacob so much that he blesses Laban, his boss. Just imagine, you go to work and you're bringing the blessing of God to your company. Have you imagined that? That God blesses your company because of you. And your boss, in the case of the Genesis story, Laban, recognizes that. Isn't that amazing? If your boss look at how you perform at the company and recognizes the hand of God upon you and come to see God's blessing. And isn't this the story of Abraham? That the world will be blessed because of Abraham. So the next time you go to work, don't think about all the difficulty you face at your company and your school or whatever. Think instead, what? God is going to bless you so that you will be a blessing to that place, whether it's work or school. Isn't that amazing to be the children of God, carrying the blessing of our Father wherever we go? And in like manner, God protected Jacob so that even Laban could not hurt him. So we have this table, as you can see, that Leah, Rachel, Jacob are all covenant family, having covenant with God, and so experiencing God's intervention time and time and time again. Think about yourself. Think about your life. When you were in difficulty, how God intervened and brought you through that difficulty. And that exactly is what's happening in the story we are reading now. The problem that we often have, the problem Leah and Rachel and Jacob have, is that they focus on the physical world. In the physical world, Leah was not loved. In the physical world, Rachel was childless. In the physical world, Jacob is so focused on himself, he forgot about God, praying to God. And then we read the story that God intervened from the spiritual world in the physical, into the physical world. God sees Leah's problem, hears her difficulties. God remembers Rachel's childlessness, and God blesses and protects Jacob, even though he was prayerless. When we focus on the physical world, we look at all the difficulties and we cannot find a way out. And the way out of that difficulty is turn to the spiritual world. This is what we need to do every day. If we are going to be happy, if we're going to be God's agent in the world, we need to bring the spiritual world into our lives. We must not be like Jacob, prayerless. We need to recognize that God is with us, and we need to bring him in to our lives and allow him to lead us and to make changes in our life and to bring miracles into our lives. Just now we look at family in turmoil. In similar manner, we also can see churches in turmoil. Paul in Romans says, there is no one righteous, not even one, for all have sinned. That's the fundamental Christian message, that because people have sin against God, the world has become a broken place, a confused place, a hurt place. Since we all agree as Christians that we are sinners, there are always going to be problems, whether it is in family or in churches. I quite often talk to young people, you know, like many of you. What do you think when you think of marriage? According to the Hollywood, they quite often portray it as what? Heaven, right? But in reality, marriage can also be hell, right? if you met the wrong person, then you know, you're going to have to live with them for the rest of your lives. So it could be hell. Biblical point of view, let me tell you what marriage is. Marriage is close encounter with another one and live with another one who, like you, are sinners, right? That's marriage. That's the reality of marriage. Two sinners living together in close contact. And so there are going to be problems, right? Conflicts, disagreements, arguments. I can see one nodding there. So the same with churches. It's normal. We all look at things differently. We all come from different perspectives. We have our own experience. We are all from different families of origins. So we are all different. We look at things differently. So when people disagree, Husband and wife disagree, parents disagree, children disagree, church member disagree, is normal, it's common. It's not church, people are messy business, right? So that's the reality, because we are sinners, we are messy. So if there are disagreement within family, if there are disagreement with churches, don't be surprised. It's common, it's normal. I don't know if you heard somebody said this. If you have found a perfect church, don't join it, right? If you join it, it won't be perfect. So that's what we are. We are a group of sinners attending the same church. And there are going to be disagreement. It's quite normal. Don't be surprised. Churches are messy places. What is important is for us not to insist that we have all the truth. Things will only go wrong and get out of hand if some of us insist that we have all the truth and the other people don't have. But once we humble ourselves and recognize that we are all limited people, we are all broken people, we are all confused people, we are messy people, then what happened in churches, in our church, we won't be surprised. We realize it's going to be messy. And because the world is a messy place, a broken place, a confused place, Jesus Christ came into the world to bring us the whole truth, the only truth. And so we need to all submit and learn and look not just at the physical world where the problem appears to be, but also look at the spiritual world. And in this spiritual world, we have hope because God intervenes and we need to open our hearts to his intervention. So when we look at this spiritual world, actually we also need to be aware that apart from God, there's also the devil, who's our enemy. And so we need to be aware of his schemes, as Paul says. We need to be alert to his deceitful schemes. We mustn't be Leah and Rachel. Leah and Rachel look at the physical world and focus on the physical world. Leah thought Rachel was her enemy, and Rachel thought that Leah was her enemy, because they only focus on the physical world. We need to go beyond, look beyond the physical world, and recognize that we are not each other's enemy. We are brother and sister, like Leah and Rachel, in the covenant family. We are in the covenant church. So we need to be watchful and careful and not allow Satan to make the situation worse and to turn a mold into a mountain. So in Ephesians 4, we hear Paul exhorting the people that speak only what is helpful for building others up, and to be compassionate, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. That is the model. And we need to put away, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander. So if we look at this table, we come to see that Satan wants us to be angry with each other, to slander each other, to bring a church split, but God wants us to be compassionate and kind and forgiving each other and live in unity with each other. In the Gospel of John, John described Jesus as full of grace and truth. So while we need to speak the truth, we also need to speak in a gracious manner. We need to learn to live with each other and learn to accept each other, to realize that none of us is perfect, And so don't expect perfection from your brother. Don't expect perfection from your sister. That is the reality we live in today. So in conclusion, when you are in distress, when things seem to be too much for you, when people seem to be too unbearable, like Leah and Jacob and Rachel, you know you are not alone. Leah, Rachel, and Jacob have been there before you. More importantly, they got through by the grace and mercy of the seeing and hearing God. So can you, and so can we at Lost Grace Church. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that though you know that we are messy people, sinful people, confused people, hurt people, and because of all these things, you intervene. You came, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that we can change from the old man to the new man, from our sinful self to a new self, so that we may learn from you and live in grace with each other. We want to bring LGC before you and ask that in your mercy, help us to turn from a dysfunctional family into a functional family. To be in distress, confusion, that in all our weaknesses and in all our brokenness, that we see Christ glorified, restored, and in the process of making us whole, and in the process of making the old creation into a new creation. Thank you for the hope of Christmas. Thank you for the message of Christmas, that we have this eternal hope in Jesus Christ. Amen.